Hi, we want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan podcast. We're so glad that you could join us. We want to join in some worship today and again know that, you know, worship affects your outlook just as much as heaven celebrates with us. I do want to say that, you know, again, in the hospital, we had a few conversations this week about visiting, and I do want you to know that if you're in there, we can arrange a Zoom call, which would be the only face-to-face that they're allowing during these hard times. And so just so you know, that is the way that it's going to be until the lockdown is over. Anyway, let's pray and ask God to be with us and to heal what needs to be healed within. Father, I want to say thank you that we can join together and that we can praise your name. I want to say thank you for what that does in our lives, the way that it focuses us, the way that it heals us, the way that it encourages us. And Lord, I pray all of those things upon those who are listening today, that we would be encouraged and we would feel your presence in the midst of the storm. Lord, we pray that this would soon all be over, and we praise you. We look forward to that time when we can meet again face to face. So thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in us, even while we wait for the reopening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this first song just proclaims that God is good. And, you know, as we sing it, I hope that you can feel the burdens lift. Let's sing it out.
Here I am to see your grace.
Amen. I hope that that is the cry of your heart, that you find the joy in praising the Lord above. Well, this is an older one, but it's one that I certainly appreciate it over the years, and it brings back so many fond memories of even when I was working with the teens. This is called Come, Now is the Time to Worship. I don't know what you may be facing this week. I know that as, you know, the situation in the world has drug on, there's been many days maybe you feel like you're upon shaky ground. As information changes, as, you know, the science kind of catch up to facts, it's kind of one of those times where it feels like the ground can quake and shake a little bit beneath us. But I want you to know that if you are standing in his love, then you will find yourself on a firm foundation. And that as we stand in his love, we always understand our value. And so let's sing it out. Stand in your love. We certainly can feel confidence that comes only from the throne room of God. And, you know, there's those moments when it doesn't make any earthly sense, it doesn't make any logical sense, but we find ourselves being filled with that confidence of God, and we find ourselves being brave. Let's sing it out. This is a song that's near and dear to Allison and I, and certainly to many in the church. It just reminds us of the beauty of God and the beauty of God that surrounds us each and every day. And if you find yourself overwhelmed this week, I want you to know that you just need to pause and count your blessings and to look around, and there is God in everything that you see. Let's sing Beautiful. Thank you. Hey, everybody.
This is Pastor Kirtland joining you today as we continue on with our spiritual warfare series that Andrew's been bringing to us over the past, I'd say, about a month, a little over a month now we've been on this one. And last week, Andrew took a deeper look into some of the practical ways in which we're able to apply the armor of God to ourselves in order to withstand spiritual attacks. And I give that little recap because this really goes into what we're going to talk about today. But what did he go over? He identified how the armor of God makes us stronger spiritual forces that are able to not only withstand the enemy, but fight back in those times of oppression. And it was a really neat one. And I guess I sort of want to continue that thought where we left off last week by talking about another spiritual asset. This line of defense, I guess. I want to say armor, but it's not so much armor because we don't apply it. Instead, it's something that we have built right into us. And what is it? It can be your biggest defense. It can be one of your most powerful strengths, or if we're careless, it can destroy us. Have you ever considered your voice to be something of value when it comes to matters of spiritual strength? Let me put it this way. Do you know that according to Scripture, your physical voice makes waves within the spiritual realm? It's able to produce both good and evil if we allow it. And so much Scripture urging us to guard our lips, watch our tongue. Right, but beyond that, we have to acknowledge what Jesus said in John 14, and this is kind of a verse that I want to focus on today. It's going to be kind of a focal point for the first half of our sermon here. So John 14, verse 12 to 14, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it." As a believer, and when we're thinking about using our voice, I want you to think about the implications of that verse. Think about the words, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it." We have the power to speak God's intervention into our lives. Do you take advantage of that as a believer? Or do you see it as something that maybe you're not worthy of, that you're not able to do? Like, you have the forces of heaven aligning with you as you embark on life and encounter different types of, to be honest, evil. Right, and it took me a long time to recognize the power that lies in the spoken word when we use it to call upon the name of Jesus. But man, oh man, once I gained the confidence to pray those bold prayers in faith, I do it all the time now. Like being honest with you, I do. Whenever I or anyone I know is dealing with some sort of spiritual oppression, like, my instinct is to use my voice to speak the name of Jesus over the situation. And the success rate has been astronomical. It's been crazy. It's never failed me. I always go back, tell you guys a little story. And my buddy told me that I could tell it. But I always go back to a night where me and a few guys were hanging out. And we had something super creepy happen. And this is one of my go-to stories when it comes to the power of the name of Christ. But anyway, we'd been together all night and we were just chilling and everything was fine. But then once we went to leave, my friend had something absolutely terrifying happen to him. He got into his car. We were leaving, right? And he got in his car and he started leaving the driveway. And everything was fine. Like, I get chills just thinking about this story, be honest with you guys, right? He starts leaving the driveway and everything's fine until I look in my rear view and, you know, because I'm waiting for him to leave, and his car stops and I just see him jump out without even closing the door behind him. And like I said, I'm in my car waiting for him to move. So I couldn't back up yet. I was waiting for him to move. So when I saw him jump out of the car, I assumed, okay, well, he forgot to tell me something, or he saw something wrong with my car. Like that, that's what I'm going to, something like that, right? And so I got out to see what all his commotion was all about, and why he jumped out of his car or stopped right quick. And anyway, I'll tell you, like, I'll never forget the look on his face that night. This wasn't like, ah, dude, you'll never believe what just happened. Like, this was fear and terror written all over his face. And just looking at him, like, I'm nervous. I'm like, what is going on? So I say, I'm like, what's going on? What happened? And he told me that he got in his car, he put it in drive to leave the driveway and pass behind my car. And as he was starting to leave, right in his ear, he suddenly heard this sinister, mocking laugh come from the seat right behind him. I think it goes without saying that he thought he was the only one in his car. And so he tells me this, and for me, this is new territory. I'd never experienced or dealt with anything like this. And he's very visibly shaken up. And so after he told me what happened and he calmed down a little bit, my instinct, like I'm like, man, we need to pray the name of Jesus over that car. Like we gotta do something. He didn't want to get back in the car. And I said, no, we gotta pray over this thing. So we both got in and we prayed against whatever it was that was trying to scare my friend, and we demanded that through the name of Jesus Christ that it would leave and never return. And so we're praying and praying and we prayed over the entirety of the vehicle, because that's all I knew to do. I didn't know what else to do. Like, no holy water, no special rituals, just praying that Jesus would remove everything spiritual from that car that stood against God. Like, that was our prayer. Like, if it's evil, let it never return in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just talked to him even the other day about this. Like, here we are 2 years later. That happened 2 years ago. He's never had, still has the car. He's never had any strange spiritual oppression or creepy encounters or anything happen that have involved that car whatsoever since. Ah, and I know that these stories might be strange to hear if you've never had a spiritual encounter, but for us, like me and him, when I talk to him, it's very, very real. Like, we both understand what the other one's talking about. We get what we're saying, and we relate to each other's experiences. Like, we trade stories surrounding spiritual encounters where the name of Christ has done miraculous things right before our eyes. Like things we can't explain, and things that, you know, some people are going to think you're crazy if you bring this stuff up, but they happen. They can't be explained, and they're things that can only be explained as spiritual. Like, some of his encounters would make the hair on the back of your neck stand straight up. It's amazing. Really, it's sobering. And so, yes, as believers, we must recognize the power in Jesus' name, right? And so with this in mind, in my personal life, I don't wait for the attacks before I speak the name of Christ over my life. Like, I pray the name of Jesus over my house when I got it. That was one of the first things I did when I moved in. You know, walking through the whole house, praying the name of Jesus over my house, my property, my family, my day, everything, all the time. And we should. We should. If he's as big in our life as we claim he is, then why wouldn't we be in constant communication with him? Align yourself with Christ in a way that forces the demons to know who you are. And again, I know if this is not a normal thing for you to be thinking about, if you've never thought about this stuff before, that might sound a little strange, but But the demons should know who you are. They should fear the power that you have with your lips at the fact that you utter the name of Christ and they have to flee. Is your relationship with Jesus at a place where you can do that? Because again, you may think of that story Andrew shared last week from Acts 19, where the evil spirit overpowered the men who were trying to invoke the name of Jesus over it. And what happened? Well, they call out the demon in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't work. And why doesn't it work? Because they aren't believers in Jesus. They were Jews trying to work wonders by using the name of the man they had no business using the name of. They were not Christians. If anything, they were simply trying to use his name to give themselves a better reputation. That's what we would gather from that scripture. And the result is that Jesus was not with them. And the man with the evil spirit overpowered them and beat them. You and I as believers are not running this risk when we call on the name of Jesus in those types of situations. If you have that relationship with Jesus where he knows you and you know him and he will never abandon you when you call on his name, then you have nothing to fear in those situations. And talking about the relationship between God and his people, David wrote in Psalm 145, 17 to 20, he said, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." In truth, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he'll destroy. Again, the spoken word. God is near to all who call on him in truth. Invest in your relationship with Jesus in a way that will allow you to have confidence to call on his name. Amen? And we got to. We got to. So many amazing things are promised to us when we have that relationship with Christ. Why would you not take advantage of that? Okay. So like we said, our voice can absolutely be one of our greatest strengths within the spiritual realm. We know that our voice can be used to call in the name of Jesus, which is amazing that Christ gives us that. But more often than anything, we're going to have a multitude of opportunities in our life to use our voices to proclaim truth to the world. How does this relate to the spiritual? Well, when we have truth hidden in our hearts, we're able to use our voice to build the army of God. We create believers by sharing truth through our voice. Like, what could terrify Satan more than a growing population of individuals who recognize truth? You want to know what the spiritual implications are to proclaiming truth to the world? That's it. Individuals who recognize truth terrify Satan. Truth about what? Truth about God. Truth about eternity. Truth about who you are in Christ. Truth about the lack of power that the enemy has over you. The more people who know Jesus, and the more people who know truth, the more people there are to stand up to the enemy in Jesus' name. Like that night that I prayed over my friend's car, my goal, of course, was to love my friend by doing that. Like, absolutely. But through that experience, I hope, and, you know, I know that he realized that the power to expel demons in the name of Jesus is available to all who call him Lord. The power that comes to you if you are someone who calls Jesus Lord. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be a reverend or a priest or an elder. Like, what did Jesus say in John 14? He said, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it." Now, don't be mistaken. Like, this isn't Jesus saying, "Oh, here's a blank check. Just tell me what you want and it's yours." No. He's saying, "Believe in me." Like, make this authentic. Align with me. Seek holiness. Seek truth. And I will be there for you when you call on me. And together we can work to glorify the Father. The fact of the matter is that we need to be asked, or sorry, we need to be seeking truth if our goal is to work towards holiness. We need to be seeking truth if we want to lead others to Christ. Romans 10, 12 to 15 says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But then 14, I want to focus on this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." As a Christian, you have been sent to share truth. The Great Commission of Jesus itself in Matthew 28 tells us to use our voice to share truth with others as our life's mission. Verse 19:20, this is Matthew 28, the commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age." As believers, we are to use our voice. We're not supposed to go through life silently, but instead we are to use our voice to expel the truth that we ought to have stored up within us. Are you using your voice? Are you holding it all in? Are you using your voice boldly, confidently, with the backing of Christ and his truth? Are you in tune with your Savior in a way where you will recognize the power available to you when you call on his name? I love this verse, 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Is truth a part of you in a way that you're able to share it with others at a moment's notice? Like, is truth that much a part of your identity that you're able to share it with others at a moment's notice? Is it right there? Is it ready to be given away? I want to share with you a parable that Jesus told regarding our responsibility as believers. And I kind of want to close with this, but I really want you to think about this with me. Our responsibility as believers to share truth rather than holding it in our whole life leading up to his second coming. Like, he had a parable about that, and beautiful. If you want to grab your Bible or pull up the scripture online, reading from the NIV, I'm going to read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So if you want, pause this, find your spot at verse 14 and follow along. Okay, all right, here we go. Verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, and to another, 1. To each according to his ability, and then he went away." Okay, I want to stop right there, and we're going to get through this parable, but for the sake of understanding the intensity that Jesus wanted to convey, a single talent, okay, was equivalent to about 6,000 denarii. One denarius per day was the average pay for a general laborer. So, like, when you calculate that, okay, 6,000 denarii in one talent, one denarius per day is the average pay for a laborer. So when you calculate the yearly wage, you minus off a day of rest, one talent, 6,000 denarii, was just under 20 years' wages for the average individual of that time. This wasn't pocket change that this guy is giving to his servants to invest. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 16. "He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." Okay, so he had 5 talents. So he had 5 times 20 years' wages. I just want to have fun with this a little bit. Let's say you make minimum wage, right? You're roughly like $25,000 would be your income for a year. Okay, so So you're talking five talents, because we're looking at 100 years' wages. 100 years' wages, $25,000 a year, you're looking at $2.5 million in today's money. And so what did he do? He took them, he traded with them, and he made five talents more. He doubled up. So he's like $5 million. Maybe it's just numbers for you. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my math is off. I think there's a place to comment if I'm wrong. But anyway, let's keep going. So I'm going to go back 16. So he, who had received five talents, went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. So they're investing, right? Verse 18. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Playing it safe. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, doubling up, saying, Master, you've delivered to me five talents here. I've made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward. This is the other guy saying, Master, you delivered me two talents here. I have made two talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And we got the last guy. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It's easy to get a misunderstood meaning of what this parable is trying to say. But I want to bring a little clarity to this. Like, the point of what Jesus is saying here that I believe we can take a lot from today is that we all have different gifts. We all have the ability to share truth with more or less people. We all have a different audience than say, other believers. We all have a different amount of talents. And the extent of our individual amount of knowledge varies depending on many different things. Again, some of us may have been gifted with five talents, and some of us maybe only one. But make no mistake, Jesus does not want you to store up the truth that has been given to you as a way of playing it safe. You were meant to share that. You were meant to go out and to grow the kingdom of God. You were not meant to hoard truth for yourself. You were given a voice for a reason. You've been entrusted with the knowledge of truth that could change eternity for an individual. It could grow the kingdom of heaven through the individual whose eternity has been changed. And so I guess my message in all of this is that I want it to be clear that your voice has so many purposes and so many benefits when it comes to spiritual implications. The ability to speak the demons out of a situation through the name of Christ, the ability to make waves in the spiritual realm through conveying truth to individuals and sharing it with them so that then they can believe and go share it with others, growing this army of God to rise up against evil. Use the built-in equipment that God gave you. Use your voice to make waves in the spiritual realm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the spiritual realm, it can be an uncomfortable thing to talk about. That's kind of been my case. Like this isn't always something that I'm comfortable with because it's hard. I wouldn't say it's hard. It's just difficult, Lord, to imagine this reality that is not before our eyes all the time, right in front of us, happening, and yet it manifests itself, and we want to just dismiss it, and we want to say, nah, it's not real. No, I don't have to worry about that. But God, it's so real. God, it's so real. And just like the men with the talents, you've entrusted us with truth. You've entrusted us with biblical knowledge and knowledge of Jesus Christ and his saving power. And again, truth that can transform the lives of individuals. You've entrusted us with this. So God, I pray that we would not hold back. I pray that we would not hold back when it comes to sharing truth with others, empowering others to take advantage of the benefits that lie in a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would give us courage to use our voice to make a difference for eternity. God, I just pray this over each and every one who's tuned in today and listening. And Lord, I thank you for the truth that you've given to me through this message today and through your word. Lord, I'm praying all these things in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for tuning into the Digby Wesleyan podcast. We hope you're back again next weekend. We're really hopeful that we can be getting together in person again here soon. And hopefully we'll have an update on that soon for you guys. But until then, God bless you and hope you have a great week.